Good evening, brethren. All right, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. Our text is verse 10. But the verses 10 through 12 from that context there, this text is about the will of our God in sending forth his glorious gospel to gather in his sheep, to gather in his people, for them to hear the glorious good news. And this word is to go forth. It's to be preached, proclaimed, declared by the church until his return. You know, sometimes we don't know what we should say to others, and we feel blocked in our mind, and our mind goes blank, and we struggle thinking that I wouldn't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. But when we just step back for a moment and realize I'm a sinner and the people that I'm speaking to are sinners, they need the same thing I need. And my God has given to us the healing balm. He's given to us that glorious good news, that gospel, to preach this word, to declare this word, to tell others what the Lord has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's a good word. It's good news. Tell that to sinners. And he declares this. We see this before we get into the text. In Revelation 14, verse 6, we see that our God is declaring to us this word, this good news, is going to be preached to the people until the end of the day. And it's a word glorious, so glorious that it's to be declared throughout the world, throughout the heavens. He words it this way in Revelation 14, 6, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven." This is above the earth. This is declaring it so all can hear, all can see, all can hear this word, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." We have a glorious gospel, and it's to be proclaimed. It's to be declared as this word shows forth. And so the Lord has declared that this word go forth to make the way plain for the people, to declare the salvation that God has provided in his Son, to prepare that way, to clear out the obstacles, and to say what the Lord has done, what he has accomplished for sinners, for his people. We're to make it accessible, we're to make it available to sinners, because this is the healing balm. Christ is the salvation of his people. There's no other hope for sinners. And Christ did the whole work. The work's finished. It's all complete. We declare a finished salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're to go forth laboring in the field of harvest to tell them what he has done, to declare this word. And our God will manifest that word in the hearts of his people, manifest that faith and that hope in them. We don't have to twist their arms. We don't have to convince them of something that just to get them to be like us. We proclaim the word. We declare the word faithfully of the finished work of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he makes it effectual in the hearts of his ordained sheep, those who will believe, and they believe it. They will hear it, and they will believe. So we're going to focus on verse 10 tonight. I've titled this message, "Go Through the Gates." Go through the gates. Let's read this command here in verse 10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. The people need salvation. Sinners need salvation. The Lord has a people. He has a flock. Other sheep I have, them also I must bring. You that are the sheep of God, Christ says, I have other sheep. I have other sheep, and them I must also bring. Go through. Go preach this word to those out in the world, out in the nations, out in the streets, out in the cities. Go and preach this word, because I have other sheep that must hear. And they will hear. We're not going on a fool's errand. We're going on a successful errand for the Lord. The work of the Lord. We're going to preach His word because He's going to call out His sheep. They need salvation, and this salvation is declared in this gospel word, this good news of what Christ has done for His people. And so the Lord here is speaking to the people of His kingdom. He's first speaking to pastors and teachers and preachers and evangelists. He's speaking to those who declare the salvation of God, who've been healed themselves, who've been forgiven themselves for their sins, for their wickedness, for their evil devices. The Lord has healed us. He's cleansed us of our sin and shown us Christ. He's caused us to flee to the refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ, not because we're righteous, but because He's righteous. And He justifies His people in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the refuge. He's the Savior. He's the salvation of God. And so He's speaking to us, telling us to declare this word for the healing of the people, for the healing of the nations. He tells those who love His appearing and who look for His return, go, declare this word, proclaim it to the sinners. And our Lord is telling His people, go in faith, trusting the Lord to give it success, not to doubt, not to be unbelieving, but to declare it. And when you go, clear out the obstacles. Pick up the stones in the way. Pick up the branches in the way. Those things which man naturally stumbles over. Well, don't I need to stop smoking cigarettes first? Don't I need to stop drinking first? Don't I need to stop doing this first? Why don't you come and hear the gospel? And Christ will speak to your heart. Why don't you come and hear what He has done? Listen to what He's done. Hear His word. Sit and listen. Because this word is for sinners. And He'll instruct your heart. He'll tell you what to do. And it won't be the words or instruction of a man. It'll be His word speaking to you. And He'll comfort you. He'll guide you. He leads you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For His name's sake. And it'll be effectual. Made effectual in your heart. Because that's what He does for His people. And so we're to clear out those things which people stumble over so easily and get turned aside by this thing and that thing. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. So these words, go through the gates. These words are encouraging words. They're uplifting words. They're inspiring words. Go through, He says. Go through in faith, carrying this word. So the first to hear it are believers who know the truth. He's speaking to you that know the truth. You that have the wisdom of God, meaning you that have Christ revealed in your hearts by the Spirit of God who's spoken to you and made you to hear this word. Now, I looked up these words, go through. I wanted to see, well, what is the sense? Because when you read this verse, go through, what is the Lord saying there? What does He mean, go through the gates? Well, it means to pass over. It means to carry. It means to take away. To go away. It means to pass beyond. To go beyond the gates. Go through the gates. Taking something with you. Go out carrying something with you. And so, in this sense, believers are called on by God to go out from their familiar boundaries, those positions of safety that they're comfortable in. And he's saying, trust me, I've given you a glorious word, a successful word that others need to hear, that sinners need to hear. I have my sheep, and they also I must bring. I must call them out of the sheepfold that they're in, that way of darkness, and bring them out to where I lead my sheep. And I must bring them into my sheepfold. Bring this word. Go out from what you know and trust the Lord, carrying this word. Just speaking of what he's done for you. What he's done for you. Now, sometimes God will use means to help us go out through that gate. In fact, he's always going to use means. He's always going to be the one that takes us out from our familiar surroundings and our safety and our comfort. And he'll bring us, he'll send us to do his word. He's the one who makes us willing in the day of his power. He's the one who makes us obedient unto him. And he uses various means to do that. The first one we'll look at is in Acts chapter 8. Let's go there. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 1. Verse 1 and verse 4 as this example here. We're told there, and Saul was consenting unto his death. That's speaking of Stephen's death. Stephen had been preaching the word faithfully. And Stephen had spoken that word very directly to those people. And men don't like it when you speak directly to them. They don't like it. They get upset. And they'll turn on you. And they'll rend you to pieces. They don't want you to make that word personal to them. It makes them angry. And Stephen was faithful to preach that word to the Jews. And when he said, you're stiff-necked. And you're doing what's wrong. You always do what's wrong. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And they turned on him and they stoned him. They put him to death. And Saul, before he was called to be an apostle, was in agreement with Stephen being put to death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles were called to stay there in the midst of the persecution and the suffering and to faithfully proclaim the word of God to the people there in Jerusalem. But the Lord caused that persecution to send out, to push out others beyond the gates of Jerusalem, to go out, go through the gates of Jerusalem now and carry that word wherever you go. It says, verse 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And so we see how our God is able, even in afflictions, even in difficulties, in trials and in tribulations, even in persecutions, God is able to effect obedience in the hearts of his people. His word is to go through the gates, and he makes his people obedient to that word. He makes it effectual in the hearts of his people, howsoever it pleases him, to go out the gates and to proclaim that word as the Lord has commanded us. And so he's able to do it, able to do it. And that persecution caused those believers to go through the gates. It makes me think of that word. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run. Let us go through the gates. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Go through the gates. And we're called to prepare the way. Prepare the way of the people. What is the way? The way is Christ. We're to prepare the way of Christ. He alone is the salvation. He's the word that the people need to hear. That's what comforted your heart. That's what delivered you from death and darkness and from false religion. who is Christ, hearing Christ. That's who we are to preach. We don't know anything else. When we think there's something else to say, we're stupefied. We're made fools. We don't know anything else but Christ. That healed us. That comforted us. He comforted us. Preach Him. Preach Christ. Preach Christ to the people. His voice is the voice they need to hear. Not ours, but Christ. Let us recall how the Lord used John the Baptist, because he was sent before the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the way for the people. He was sent before the Lord. So let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and you're going to be in verse 16. And while you go there, let me go to Malachi. That's the same passage, but in the Old Testament. I'm going to read first, before I read with you in Luke, I'm going to read Malachi 4, verse 6. So the Lord says He's going to send one in the spirit of Elijah the prophet, or He's going to send Elijah. And He says, verse 6, "And He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So He says He's going to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. I don't know what that means. What does that mean, Lord? I don't know what that means. Well, in fulfillment of exactly what that means, we have Luke, who does know what that means, who has been given the Spirit, who has the wisdom of Christ, who was instructed by the apostles and taught this by the Spirit. And it's an exact example of precisely what that word means. So let's read it in Luke 1:17, because he tells us, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And so the Lord, remember, because he's speaking to you who do believe, who do know the word, the word of promise, who do know the promise seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying to you who have been instructed to have a heart for the children, to those who don't know, to those who are ignorant, who haven't heard and don't have the wisdom, and to take that wisdom which God has given you of Christ, because God has made him unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, and to take that wisdom and to instruct the disobedient, those who don't know the way of salvation, those who haven't heard, those who are trying to work in their works of religion and their ways and to make themselves better and to do this right and to stop doing this, maybe then God will be merciful to me. Let me tell you how that God saves sinners. Let me tell you the one who justifies his people, who laid down his life, the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful, obedient Savior, the one who came and did the will of his Father. That's what he's saying. And so here we've been instructed by one who is a father, one who has been given wisdom and been instructed in what this means. And now we know, oh, Lord, that's what you mean. Let me be faithful with that light, that hope, that word you've given to me, and let me tell others who are walking in disobedience, that they too would know the wisdom of God, that they too would hear the voice of Christ. And so lift up those rocks and branches and potholes and things that are strewn in the way. That's what John the Baptist did. He prepared the way. The mountains were brought low and the valleys were brought up. So it was a straight way for the people to walk. It was made simple and plain to know the way of salvation. That no, it's not buried down in catechisms and in these things and knowing these doctrines precisely and being able to fight this person over here and to shut that person up over there. It's to know Christ. The simplicity of Christ, that Christ saves sinners and he saved them. They are delivered from their death and destruction. Look to him. He's the Savior. Believe him. He receives all who come to him, all who cry out to him, "Lord, save me." He's a faithful, kind, gracious Savior who saves his people to the uttermost. We're to tell them what Christ has done for us. He's gracious. He's gracious. He's kind to all who need him, all who seek him. Tell them what the work is that Christ has accomplished. Preach Christ. That's preaching Christ crucified. What is that? What he did. The work that he finished. He came in the flesh like unto us, but without sin, fulfilling all the law of God, fulfilling all the righteousness of God. And he went to the cross, bearing his people, bearing their sin in his own body, and went to the tree and gave himself, made himself a sacrifice for us to atone for our sins, to put them away forever, to remove the stain, to remove the offense, to remove the curse of the law which we were under, to remove those obstacles that we ourselves cannot move. We can't take them out of the way. We can't remove our sin. We can't take away the stain, but Christ did. Christ did. He put it away for his people. And he gives his people life and light and liberty from those dead works. He lifts off the veil that blinds the heart and the minds of sinners. He takes away those things that prevents us from seeing and beholding him. And God uses the preaching of that word, the preaching of Christ, to prepare the way of Christ to his people, to prepare that way for him to come to the people, to reveal faith in them, to give them the hearing of faith. John's preaching was ordained of God to point to the people the coming of Christ. It was to prepare that way. And Christ did exactly that. He came right on the heels of that ministry. Where John preached it, Christ came, just as he preached it there. Now, our Lord sent out 70 chosen men. He chose 70 men and sent them out two by two to preach the gospel in the cities wherever he purposed to go. Let me read this to you in Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. He sent them before to preach that word wherever he would go. Do you see the glorious picture in that? That we preach the word, and we preach it to whosoever the Lord brings for us to hear, and the Lord's going to make it effectual wherever he's going to come. Wherever he's going to go to the people, whoever he's going to go to, he's going to send that word first. He's going to send that word, that gospel word, before him, and then he's going to come, and he's going to reveal himself to those sinners before ordained of him. Now, yes, some of that seed will fall on deaf ears. And he tells us that parable of the good ground and the bad ground. He tells us that there's some that seed's going to fall on hardened ground. The birds of the air are going to come and just take it away. It's not going to produce nothing. Nothing. And then other seed will fall on some hearts, and they'll spring up quickly, receiving it with joy. And then as soon as persecution comes and those difficulties, they'll wither and die because they have no root in them, right? They'll lose their job. They'll get into car accidents. They'll get into fights with their friends. Things all seem to fall apart, and they'll say, well, wait a minute, I thought it was supposed to get easy now. And so when they begin to be chastened, and the Lord begins to put their flesh to death, they despise it. They despise the chastening of the Lord, and they don't endure, and they fall away. Other seed will fall on the hearts of those who will go for some time. And they'll seem to be faithful for a long time, but then the cares of this life, And the desire for riches and the things of this world will begin to dazzle their hearts and minds, and they'll pursue and go after those things. And that'll be the ruin of them. But there is some for whom that word will go into good ground, and they'll receive it. They'll hear it by the gift of God. And Christ will come on that word, and he'll bless their hearts, making it effectual to them. And he'll settle them. He'll keep them. He'll lead them out of that false way out of the false sheepfold and bring them into his fields, into his pastures with his sheep, and there he'll feed them. And so we preach Christ, we preach him, and trust that he's going to go and make that word effectual. We're to cast up the highway, remove the obstacles that men are standing, stumbling over, declaring to them there's no works, no will, no merit, no righteousness of our own that we can bring. God has provided everything in his Son. So don't preach those things that make men stumble. Don't say, well, now you need to fix this first. Now you need to get yourself a good, clean pair of clothes, and then you can come and show up. No, come as you are. Just come and hear the gospel. Come and hear the gospel. The Lord will speak to your heart. Don't I need to put this thing away? I don't know. The Lord will teach you. Come and hear the gospel. Come and hear what the Savior has done for sinners. And ask him to teach you. Ask him to instruct your heart. Ask him to answer the questions of your heart, because he's faithful to teach his people, to feed them, to build them up, to strengthen them in the Lord. And so we bring that word of Christ. We bring that salvation of God near to them, to those sinners, because their need is great and only Christ heals. And we know how he heals, because he healed us. We're sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. Remember what he's done for you, and take that word which healed you and comforted you, and declare that word to others. Declare what he's done for you. Exalt the Savior. Exalt the Savior. That's how we prepare the way. Exalt the Savior. And that brings us to the next phrase, which says, lift up a standard for the people. Lift up a standard for the people. Declare what Christ has accomplished for sinners. He tells us, you that preach him, he says, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. John 12:32. If I be lifted up, first, that's a reference to what our Savior did. He faithfully came and did the work of his Father. He went to that cross and was sacrificed for the sins of his people. He fulfilled all the will of the Father for his people. And so you now go through the gates. Carry that word to sinners. Exalt the Savior. Speak of him. Tell others what he's done for you. And he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. I'll draw them to me. I'll bring them to myself. You just preach. You just declare that word. Prepare the way. Prepare the way, because I'm coming to my people. I'm bringing my salvation to my people. Boast of what the Savior has done for you. Boast of him. Speak of him. And he'll draw them to himself. I'm going to read from Isaiah 5:26. Isaiah 5:26. Our Lord says, and he will lift up an ensign. He'll lift up a banner. He'll lift up the salvation to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. And so the Lord calls and draws his people to himself when the ensign is lifted up, when Christ is exalted. Now, when we've done that, and the Lord blesses it, then the people who hear you and receive your word, it's because they hear the Spirit of God saying to them, go through the gates, carry out, leave this falsehood, leave this idolatry that you're in, go through the gates, leave all this behind. Abraham, go out from the land of your fathers. Go out, and I'll reveal myself to you. I'll lead you. I'll teach you. And he says, you preach this word, and they'll hear it. And they'll hear the Spirit say, you go out now. You get out of this false, vile, dark ways. Leave this perishing world behind. Come out of the false hope of man's kingdom. Flee from the Sodom and Gomorrah. Flee from this wickedness. Don't stay here in these things of death, in false religion, in dead works religion. Come out. Come out from it. Our God faithfully calls his people out of the way of death and into the way of Christ. Reading from Revelation 18:4, John wrote, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. So we've seen here that the Lord first speaks to believers. And he says, you go out, you go through the gates of the city, and you proclaim this word. You go and declare to sinners what he's done for you. And then those sinners who hear it, they hear the Spirit saying, go out of those dead works. Come out of that plague-filled city. Come out of that filth and vile. Come out of the goat barn and come into the sheep pen where the Lord gathers his people. And we've seen them that this is the refuge for sinners. This is what our God and Savior has given to us, this refuge for sinners, that we are to go to him, to flee from idolatry, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. They flee from dead works and they run to Christ because they've heard the word. And your Savior is now their Savior. And that word which you heard, they've now heard. And that which you believe and are comforted in, they believe and are comforted in. The Lord has delivered them by that exact same Savior. That same word. The same Savior who saved you saves all his people. That's why we preach Christ. There is no other hope of salvation. There is no other word to preach. We declare what we've heard and what has comforted our hearts. We preach what we've been sent to preach, and the Lord raises them from the dead. Now, there's one last perspective that I want to see. We've seen where the Lord speaks to us to go out with this word, and then we see how the Lord declares to other sinners to flee from their false hope, to flee from idolatry. And so there's one more perspective we'll look at, and then we'll close. Sinners, when they come out of idolatry and false religion, Christ says to them, now you go through. Go through the gates. That is, enter the city. You flee into the city, the city of refuge that I have prepared for you in my Son, my salvation. He brings them to the city of salvation. He brings them to the church where the gospel is preached, where the word is ministered to them, to feed them, to settle them, to heal them, to comfort them, to grow them in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to fellowship with them, because we all go through trials and difficulties, afflictions and sorrows, and we're comforted. And we comfort one another with the comfort that we ourselves have also been comforted with. And so the Lord gathers his sheep together that we may minister that word of comfort and the hope that we have in Christ. And so that language is also in Scripture, going into the city. Turn over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 26, 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. So we go out preaching this word. They hear it and flee from their dead city of idolatry. And the Lord tells them, you run to the city. Come in, open the gates, brethren. And what he's saying there is really what we've been hearing this whole night. Over in Revelation 4:1, I'll read it to you. John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, who said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Brethren, we preach that door which is opened in heaven. That door is Christ, and Christ is the one who opened that door to heaven. He's the one who has prepared the way, made the way unto the Father in righteousness, in holiness, in peace, in acceptance, and in joy forevermore, in life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the door open. And our God sends us to preach that door open. To say, as John said, I looked and behold, look, the door opened in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, look to him. He is the salvation for his people. Believe him. All who believe on him shall never be ashamed. All who believe in him, the prophets tell us, their sins are forgiven. Their sins are washed away. They are white as snow. We preach that door opened in heaven. And so in the preaching of Christ, we go through the gate, whether we're going in faith to proclaim it, whether we're fleeing from idolatry, or whether we're going into the city, we're trusting Christ because he is triumphant. He has triumphed gloriously. He's overthrown all our enemies. He's put down all our obstacles. Everything that prevented us has been dealt with and put down, and the way is straight now in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all been accomplished by him. And we have a word of triumph. We have the word of deliverance for sinners. And they receive it. They who receive it triumphantly by the grace and power of God. Let's look at Isaiah 60, verse 11. Our Lord there says, therefore, thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. That gate is open for you to go out and preach it, and for sinners to come in. Until the end of the day, until the end when the Lord comes again, the gate is open. We preach an open door in heaven. We preach today is the day of grace. Hear him. Believe him. Look to him. And he gives us this word of comfort. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I pray the Lord bless that word and give us all the courage to go through the gates, to hear his word and to take that word, carry that word to sinners, declaring to them that very hope of our salvation that we've heard and we're so blessed with, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.